You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
On January 17th, there wasn't a case, and the fake news is saying, oh, he didn't act fast enough. Well, you remember what happened, because when I did act, I was criticized by Nancy Pelosi, by Sleepy Joe Biden. I was criticized by everybody. In fact, I was called xenophobic.
Here we are, April the 14th. The words then of President Trump talking about exactly what happened when he decided to do what he could to protect our nation. The first response from the Democrats, xenophobic, racist. Later response, oh, you acted too slowly. Now response, we don't know. And when he plays back some of these remarks in a news conference yesterday, the mainstream media jumps up and says, propaganda! You're giving us nothing but propaganda. Guys, listen to me. He simply played back your own news reports. Where do you think the propaganda originated? It's your material that you were using as propaganda to destroy the president, and then suddenly it's fed back to you, and suddenly it's toxic. We're going to get into that in more detail, simply because the president is trying to show, let's lay out the facts. Let me give you a timeline and compare to what we were seeing from the other side. And he's right about Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is even still saying he's mishandled it. All right, where do we stand in these numbers? Worldwide infections, 1.9 million. Deaths, 120,000. U.S. infection rate, 582,000. Deaths, 24,000. Now again, when I say deaths in the U.S., I can't speak for the world, but what we're told here in the U.S., coroners insist there's no way they can verify it's a COVID death unless they give them the COVID test, and they're trying to reserve those for the living at this point. So some are probably being just put under that category because they had similar symptoms, they had some kind of ailment, and then they came down with flu-like symptoms, and the quickest thing to do is COVID, just blame it on COVID. And, of course, now the issue is, what can we do to get our economy back online? Here we're going to have another battleground. You watch this. It's already developing. President Trump is saying, of course, I'm president. I will decide when we can really start opening up the country. And yet he's always conceded. They're wanting you to think that he hasn't done that. But he has previously said when he was asked by mainstream media, why don't you tell all the states to shut down everything? He said, because the governors and the mayors and those districts, they know their own area. They know what they need or don't need, and we got to allow them some decision there at their end. But if I have to, I can. I have the authority to do so. I have the authority to open everything up. I have the authority to shut everything down. He could have shut down all domestic travel. No airlines between the states, between the cities, no bus traffic, no rail service. He didn't do that. But now what we're having is Democrats are trying to race out and reopen their economies, and they're saying, we will do it when we're ready. And some Republican governors, the same thing. This is again turning into a red-blue state war. I know we want to get the economy reopened. Certainly the president does. And I hope the red state governors are very cautious about it. But what we have really is the blue state governors probably just going to say, we will do what we want. And, of course, when it blows up in their face, they're going to blame him again. Oh, stand back. It finally happened. The endorsement coming today for Joe Biden. Barack Obama, after more than a year on the matter, endorsing former Vice President Joe Biden in a message. He says, in an 11-minute clip, he says, Joe has the character and the experience to guide us through one of our darkest times and heal us through a long recovery. Joe's the only one still standing. And Michelle apparently is not going to come in at this point anyway. So he says, Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now. Do you believe Obama buys that? I say no. I don't think he believes that one bit. Does not believe it. But what else can he do at this point? We'll also be talking about stimulus checks. And in fact, one guy goes to his bank account and he's got millions in his stimulus account. Have you guys checked your bank account lately? See if it got hit? See if you got millions in yours? We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Log and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Texans are dying to get back to work, and we want them to get back to work, but we have to do so in a very safe way so that we don't regenerate the spread of the coronavirus in the state of Texas. But we are working on strategies as we speak with medical experts, with business leaders to find the right strategy so that we can unleash our economy. Remember this, Sean. Texas was the number one state in the United States for job creation last year. We're leading in gross domestic product. Texas is essential for the future of the United States of America economically. America needs Texas to get back to business.
Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott. We need Texas to get back to business. We need all of our states to get back to business. And the Texas governor says, I think we can reopen sooner than later. We don't have to wait until May 1. There is no official word from the White House at this time as to when everything can start to open up or even some parts of the economy. You know the president wants to have it done. He really, really was hoping everything would be open by Easter Sunday and we could pack the churches with services. The reality was it would have been too dangerous. It's too dangerous even now at this point. But there have got to be some avenues when working with the health professionals that we can begin to find areas that can begin to open up, maybe particular geographic areas, and also perhaps reference some particular businesses. And others for this time should maybe wait, just give it a little longer. I mean, if let me put it this way. If suddenly the baseball team started playing May 1 and you could go to the stadium packed with everybody else, would you go? See, if you're not going to go anyway because you're still thinking, I'm not quite ready, then why should they do it? Same thing with a lot of restaurants. They may want to reopen May 1, but if they're not going to have customers coming in, why should they do it? It's going to be a groundswell. And when it starts, you want to believe it's going to get bigger and stronger. And you want to believe it's not going to be political based. It's going to be economic based. But of course, at the very top of that would be health based. Howsoever, we already began to see, as I mentioned in the monologue, in our opening, you watch, it's going to be a blue state, red state battle, partly because they want to get open first. I want to see Texas reopen, but I also say I want to see other states. I would like to see New York. I would like to see New York in a position where it could fully reopen. I think New York and New York State's got to be one of the last at this point. And then we have some of these hot spots that spring up from time to time in Philadelphia. Maybe they've got to wait a little bit longer. Because we're just assuming by May 1, this virus has made its trek across the U.S. and touched every area that's vulnerable. That's an assumption that I don't know how we can bank on it. We may still make moves to begin to open up, and there may be start-stop businesses, locations. That would not be surprising. What's going to be frustrating, though, is when some folks, one, say to hell with the health concerns, I'm not going to be worried about it. We're going to open and go full blast. Cannot do that. And the same with the attitude that, well, we're going to go ahead and do it because they're doing it across the street. Well, just because they're doing it does not mean it will work for your environment. But the governors of California, Oregon, and Washington announcing today they have a plan of joint action, and they plan to reopen their economies. Actually, they said this yesterday. And they want to start them now. California Governor Newsom, Oregon Governor Kate Brown, Washington Governor Jay Inslee making that PAC announcement in a statement. They say it's preyed upon our interconnections, and in the coming weeks, the West Coast will flip the script on COVID-19 with our states acting in close coordination, collaboration, to establish that the virus can never spread wildly in our communities. And did add in the statement, our residents' health comes first. As home to 1 in 6 Americans and gateway to the rest of the world, the West Coast has an outsized stake in controlling and ultimately defeating COVID-19. The governor of California, Newsom, said he is going to have a plan he's going to announce fully today for lifting restrictions. He said, I'm going to make it without political pressure. In other words, a swipe at President Trump. Political pressure. See, they think that if the president tells them, do not do it now, wait, that it's political pressure. Could it be a health issue? Well, hell yes, it could be. But they want to frame everything in political circles. That's why there's been this argument back and forth as to who really is in charge of all the reopening. When the president says, I am the final arbiter, he is correct. The governors, of course, want to insist they can do what they want. But if the president decides a full, true national emergency, shut the entire nation down, shut down transportation, shut down the interstate highway connections, shut down cargo shipments, he could do so. There's been no reason to do so, and I wouldn't want him to do it on a political basis at his point. We need to do what is necessary for health and well-being of Americans, not political parties. New York Governor Cuomo is teaming up with other blue state governors, and they're trying to set up a task force to set the timing to reopen their economies. And he says this is about being smart first, not political, smart. Well, then why the hell are you teaming just with blue state governors? If I look at any state governor and saying we're looking to work for whatever we can for everyone, and all they're doing is teaming up with political likeness, that's not a good point for the health of our nation. But here's what Governor Cuomo is saying. This task force will involve the governors of New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Delaware. And you recognize, of course, they're all geographically located neighbors. So to that extent, it's understandable. And yes, that's where a lot of the blue is congregating. But I'd rather them say we're going to work with other governors wherever they are, because we all are going to interlock. That's why we have the nation we have, because we have a commerce system inside our nation, and private enterprise and free enterprise, all of this helping. And that is, of course, also the drawdown, the other side of the sword. It helps us when times are rocking and rolling. It hurts us when we have a national illness sweeping the nation. So Cuomo said he had not had a conversation with President Trump about what's going to happen. But he did admit Trump could overrule him. He said, if the federal government comes and says they're going to substitute a federal plan, well, that would then trump a state plan. Pardon the pun, he said. Well, I'm glad to see he's acknowledging that. Same time, Cuomo has been praising Trump for what he's delivered for New York. In fact, he said clearly in these words, President Trump has, quote, delivered for New York. He was doing this in an interview with shock jock Howard Stern. And he said, for the most part, from what I've seen, President Trump has put all politics aside. He said, this is not about politics. It's not about personalities. We have to be better than that for the jobs we do. And he said, the president said, I put out my hand in partnership to work with you, and we'll call it straight, and you do the right thing by New York, and I'll say it. And if you don't, I'll say it. And Cuomo added, that's the plain truth in the situation. He's been good at delivering for New York. He also made a note of something, it's kind of one of these things that some will say, oh, it's just Trump placating. It's just him, you know, a little BSing. But Governor Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, it's his brother, Chris Cuomo, who's a CNN personality, who's been vicious against Trump throughout the midst of all of this. And they do not have a good relationship. Chris Cuomo always attacking Trump. But here's what Governor Cuomo said. The president always makes a point of saying to me, how is Chris? Is he okay? Because Chris Cuomo has COVID-19. He's been staying home doing his broadcast out of the basement of his home. Oh, you can't feel bad for him in the sense of being at the basement of his home. Believe me, he's not sitting on a beanbag next to the heater. They got a little bit better facility than that for him. But the president's saying, you know, I care about your brother. I hope he's doing well. See, that's what gets lost sometimes with the left. I hate to admit it, but I've seen way, way too many times where someone on the right is suffering, and I don't see anything from the left to offer praise, support. I'm not saying it happens like that all the time. So if this virus, if we could look at it in that context, it could be a unifier for the nation. Unfortunately, at the cost of American lives and illnesses and the economy and jobs. Let me put it this way. Do you remember, and this was an instantaneous event compared to what we're dealing with now. Do you remember 9/11? I'm sure you do. Do you remember the reaction of the nation that day and for days afterwards? My God, the outpouring of spirit and concern and prayer, regardless of your political stripes, regardless of where you live, regardless of your past anger at one particular party or politician. All of that went aside because we said we're an American nation. We are Americans. And whether you just got into the country last week and became an American, or you're trying to become an American, or you were born here, we were all saying, we're together. We have been doing that with the COVID-19. The issue, the difference is, spread out over several days, just like where we are now with 9/11, that heartbreaking moment seared into our soul at that point has kind of healed over for many, and they forget. They forget how we stood in unity then. And I say that for both sides. I'm not trying to label one party more than the other. I'm just saying that sometimes we tend to forget. You want to bring it down to a family level? It's like you've got brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles. You have contact with them, but not really together. In fact, the only time you come together would be a funeral. And everyone pledges, we won't wait that long again. We don't want to wait to come together just for a funeral. Unfortunately, it will probably happen that way. In this nation right now, as we try to restart our economy, let us remember we have a common goal going forward, not a race to see which state gets open first. We'll take a break. When we come back, Obama speaks. He's made his choice. Or has he? And then what do you think about voting by mail, that we start doing that by mail? You talk about a possibility for fraud. Still to come.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness. One client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. So Joe Biden, when he announced his campaign, everyone was asking, is Obama going to endorse you? He said, oh, I told him I don't want his endorsement. I don't want it. I want to do it myself. Kind of like the kid, I want to go to the potty myself and show I can do it myself. I can do it and I can pull up my own panties and I can do it myself. But he was dying. I mean, he was standing against all these other candidates and losing points left and right. They got into the primaries. He looked dead in the water. And then suddenly a new wind came up. And everyone else started falling off. It came just between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. And Bernie finally had to bite the dust and throwing now his support to Biden. Now, open the doors. Coming through the big door is Obama. And he says, Joe has the character and the experience to guide us through one of our darkest times and heal us through a long recovery. And so Joe Biden now has that endorsement from former President Barack Obama. Former President Barack Obama now stepping forward. Of course, it comes as Biden is the only candidate left standing. Now, there's some things that don't, that are playing behind the scenes that are going to raise some real stink in the days coming forward that have been kind of washed over because of the coronavirus concern and issues. And by that, I'm talking about an allegation by had been made something like 3 weeks ago by former congressional staffer Tara Reid of a 1993 sexual assault. She's claiming Biden sexually assaulted her. Well, Biden has not been asked about that, and in part because everything's been focusing on coronavirus. He has done, since Tara Reid came forward 3 weeks ago, 7 televised interviews. Not one question about it. 3 interviews on MSNBC, 2 on CNN, appearances on the Sunday morning shows of ABC and NBC, anchors Anderson Cooper, Chuck Todd, George Stephanopoulos, never questioned him one time about those allegations. They're not going to be able to hide it anymore, because now it's going to be just Biden, and now with Obama's endorsement, it's going to refocus attention that, yeah, we do have a campaign underway and an election coming up in November. Now, you want to take the attitude, well, this is just an allegation like those against Kavanaugh. That's true. That's exactly true. Her word, his word at this point. Although we haven't heard him make any denial, just nothing. But the attitude of the left has always been, believe the woman. Believe the woman. Flat out, believe the woman. Hashtag me too. Well, with Biden, you watch how that scenario changes everything. And now that he's got Obama's endorsement, that's going to be a hotter topic. And I'm glad. I'm ready to get into that. With this election coming up, Democrats are saying, you know what we should do? We should be able to vote by mail, make it easier for people to vote. Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation. And he says, if you want to open the door to fraud in elections, that would be perfect. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome. My next guest is an expert on political elections with the Heritage Foundation, also co-author of the book, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk, Hans von Spakovsky. Good to have you on board again, sir.
All right, thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was looking at some articles you've also penned recently. One of them being referenced, this was 3 days ago, on the mail-in elections, and you're saying that is an absolute potential for fraud.
It certainly is, particularly the way liberals are trying to push that they happen. And what I mean by that is very simple. Look, the coronavirus health crisis we face, you know, yeah, it may force us to use absentee ballots for some of the primary elections coming up, but there are ways to do that are more secure than the ways that other people want to do that. And the big best example I can give to you of that is look, some Democrats are now pushing. They filed suit in New Mexico. This was in the coronavirus bill pushed by Nancy Pelosi. They forced states to mail an absentee ballot to every single registered voter. Well, the problem with that is registered voter lists are in terrible shape. Voter lists all over the country are filled with people who have moved away, moved out of state, people who are registered multiple times, people who are dead who are still in the rolls. Imagine, Larry, all of these ballots, very valuable commodities, suddenly arriving at people's homes and elsewhere that might tempt somebody to use them to vote. that's not the way you want to do this.
I think many out there can understand that. Even if they've lived in the same house for the last 30 years, I'm sure at some point they've had one or two pieces of mail dropped off in their box that didn't belong to them. Wasn't even supposed to go to that address. Someone entirely different across town got dropped in their box. And if they have moved at all over the last 3 to 5 years from time to time, they're still getting mail that the previous occupant should have been getting. And they're not, and there's some of their mail's not being forwarded onto them. I have no doubt that we see cases. But what you're saying, of course, it gives you an opportunity to take someone's ballot and fill it out for yourself two or three times.
It is, and anybody who doubts that happened, all you got to do is check out our voter registration database, the Heritage Foundation, where we keep track of proven cases of voter fraud, and you'll find all kinds of cases of absentee ballot fraud where things like this have happened. I mean, look, we just added recently a case of a mayor in a small town in Alabama last year. He was removed from office. Why? He's found guilty of absentee ballot fraud in an election he won by 16 votes. And that's not an isolated example.
No. And the stakes are way too high when you start looking at the federal election process. This recent coronavirus package included $400 million for the states for the 2020 elections. How is that supposed to be spent?
Well, I think it's to allow them to put in whatever extra efforts are needed to conduct an election. And I'll give you a quick example of this. Wisconsin, you know, just had a primary last week. They were criticized by a lot of people because they actually kept their polling places open. They allowed absentee ballots, but they also kept their polling places open. But they handled it the same way my grocery store, my Home Depot, is allowing people in. They set up 6-foot intervals for people to stand in line, and they had folks in the polling places with disinfectant wipes and everything to clean out each little polling booth as soon as somebody had used it. All of that took extra manpower, extra money, and that's just one of the ways this could be used. Another way it may be used is doing what Georgia has decided to do. You know, they got a primary coming up. They are going to mail an absentee ballot request form to every registered voter. That's much better than actually sending out a ballot. Why? Well, because the voter has to fill it out, sign it. So you're getting some authentication that there's really a voter there and they really want an absentee ballot. Well, that is going to be costly, but that's a better way of doing it.
And, of course, that only proves that someone is there receiving the mail and sending it back.
Yes.
You still don't know
if
it's the right person or not. Or if they're registered.
No, that's true. Unless you're a state like Alabama, Wisconsin, Kansas, that have passed a voter ID law that applies to absentee ballots, which is something that every state ought to do.
You mentioned Wisconsin. I was reminded, you know, of course, that was just the Democrat primary. I was watching some of the reaction from Joe Biden, as a matter of fact, because originally when everybody was saying we might have to change everything for the general election coming up, postpone it, whatever, and so forth, and he said, "Oh no, we have elections in this country. We've not let war stop in elections. We're not going to have anything stop it." And yet, when it came to that one primary, suddenly he said, "Oh yeah, we should shut it all down, and they're putting Americans at risk." Every time some event comes up, Hans, it turns into a political gambit as opposed to what's your precedent, what's the fact, and what's legal.
Oh no, I certainly agree with that. And look, the whole big push that's going on right now to change the November 3rd general election into an all-male election, there's no reason for us to make a decision like that now. Yeah, that may be necessary for some upcoming primaries because we're still all in a position of social distancing and staying home. But look, all the predictions I've seen about this virus are that it's going to peak sometime this summer. Larry, do folks really think that come November 3rd, all of us are still going to be at home?
No.
And not back at work and not back at school? No.
Our economy, we can't. No, yeah, we can't do it anyway. I mean, we've got to get back in. And, of course, a lot of folks, I keep seeing folks are, you know, the more we've been constrained and locked down, the more folks are getting more antsy and saying, "We." And with all due respect, 20-plus thousand deaths, that's a shame. And we, even if it went to three times that amount, certainly if it's your family, it's going to be hurtful and so forth. But we've had flus sweep through the nation, taking 50, 60,000 deaths. And we never shut down the economy like this before.
No, we haven't. So, look, we'll see what happens with these elections. But those who want to take advantage of this to push us to all-mail elections and who want to get rid of things like voter ID requirements, legalizing vote harvesting, that is not a wise course of action.
Have you ever tried to make the argument? We'll put you in a difficult spot. Have you ever tried to make the argument for the other side as to why we shouldn't bother having voter ID and why we should just be able to do, you know, voter, the, you know, make it easier for everybody? You know, you just want to call in your vote, phone line, do that, hang up. I mean, have you ever tried to do it as in a debate, take the other side, see if you can defend it?
No, because I find it impossible to defend the idea.
Hey, I know you've had debate. I've had it. And I know when you go into a debate team and contest, you don't know which side you're supposed to take till you get there. And then you're told you're taking pro or con. And suddenly you've got to have the argument that makes it stand up. What can they possibly say on the other side that says, oh, yeah, this is a good idea?
Well, look.
Gotcha. I got you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, look, the Democratic governor of Virginia just signed a new bill by the now democratically controlled state legislator voiding out the state voter ID law that has been placed for years with no problem. And in his statement, he said, oh, well, we're getting rid of this voter ID law because it makes it too difficult for people to vote. That is a complete falsehood. The law's been in place for years. There was a lawsuit filed against it. The lawsuit got thrown out. You know why? Because the plaintiffs, the opponents of voter ID, they couldn't find a single witness in the entire state of Virginia that would be unable to vote because of this voter ID law. So that's the argument that folks on the other side said. They said, oh, this will keep people out of the polls. They just can't get an ID, and this will particularly affect minority voters. All that has been proven to be untrue in the states that have had voter ID law in place for years.
And all of that argument is based upon, out of the South, the poll tax, and you had to be a property owner and so forth, which the Democrats were running in the South at that time, disenfranchising voters because they were black and didn't want their votes to count. So they're back in their own box to that extent. You're going to have a real ID to be flying anywhere in this nation by the end of this next year or this year. So
that's right.
Are you going to tell me that those folks who can't go get an ID, they can't get on the plane to go see grandma anymore or grandma the other way? I don't buy that.
Well, I don't either, particularly because there are so many other things you need an ID for. I often hear folks on the other side say, oh, well, you shouldn't have to show an ID to exercise a constitutional right like voting. Well, they seem to forget that if I want to go buy a gun and exercise my Second Amendment right, guess what I'm going to need?
Yeah.
Government-issued photo ID.
And they want you to.
Yeah.
Hans, again, as always, we appreciate it, and we'll do it again.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You bet. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let you hear a little bit of Obama making an endorsement for Joe Biden. And then also the stimulus check. How would you like to get millions in your stimulus check? Coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And that's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for President of the United States. And I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now.
And that's the announcement from former President Obama saying, Joe Biden is my man. He's been my man as vice president for 8 years, and now he's my man again. Because there ain't no one else left. That's why there's no one. There's no one. And of course, some are saying, well, he was going to wait until, obviously, it was going to be just one contender for the Democrat Party. And then it came down to just Bernie and Joe. And I'm sure Obama's thinking, oh, my God, what are we into now? But I got to go with one. Hopefully it's Joe. And thank goodness it is, Bernie finally collapsing his campaign and throwing his support behind him. Once again, here's former President Obama with his endorsement of why choose Biden.
There's one thing we've learned as a country from moments of great crisis. It's that the spirit of looking out for one another can't be restricted to our homes or our workplaces or our neighborhoods or our houses of worship. It also has to be reflected in our national government. The kind of leadership that's guided by knowledge and experience, honesty and humility, empathy and grace. That kind of leadership doesn't just belong in our state capitals and mayor's offices. It belongs in the White House. And that's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for President of the United States. And I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now.
And, of course, that was part of an 11-minute pre-recorded endorsement. Not open to questions, just sent out to the media. Here it is. Run with it. And as I'd mentioned a moment ago, there had been an allegation come up about 3+ weeks ago now from a former congressional aide who claimed that Joe Biden sexually assaulted her back in 93. That has been kind of hushed, pushed to the side. News events of the coronavirus, everything, just kind of sucking air out of the room. But even when Biden has had a chance to be in front of news teams, such as, I should say news, that's such a poor use of term for them, calling them news teams, CNN, MSNBC. Anyway, in front of networks, no one asked a question about that. Now we're going to see if it will come to the forefront again. And, of course, Joe's got his own baggage in trying to make himself clear sometimes as to, is he saying what he meant to say, saying what he thought he was saying, saying what you thought he said, or did he not say anything? Somebody sent me, there's a piece going around that pops up on the internet. It's a picture I got Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday. Picture of Joe Biden. And the caption under it, Merry Christmas. I'm sorry, I thought it was funny. I really did. Because I can see him saying that. Say, did you get your stimulus check yet? Quentin, have you got your check? I assume you're going to get one. I hope you do. And I mean, okay, I hope you do too. Well, there's an Indiana guy that was going to his bank, withdrew $200 from his checking account at the ATM over the weekend, and looked down and said, whoa, there's some extra zeros in my account. Huh. He ran his card through again, and sure enough, asked for verification of his account balance, and showed his bank account balance was $8.2 million. This is a volunteer firefighter in Indiana. If he has $8 million in there, there might be an investigation. Well, he is supposed to get $1,700 from the stimulus payment package. That's what he's due. Well, he immediately called the bank, said, hey, we got a problem here. And the bank said, oh, yeah, you do have $1,700 that belongs to you, but the rest of it, nope. And, of course, he later said, it kind of sucks. You go from being a millionaire 1 second, then back to being broke again. But, hey, once you're poor, you don't have anywhere else to go but up. He's not sure where the blame should be placed, but he's glad he's going to get the $1,700 as promised as a stimulus package. Yeah, you know, things like that are probably going to be happening, and there will be some that won't bother reporting it. They'll try to treat it like they got it in there. That's not a good idea. Not a good idea, because when they realize the mistake, they will be coming for it. And if you've already spent it or you've done something with it, you not only have some splaining to do, you're going to have to come up with some money. Don't come looking at me. Don't come around my door and say, hey, can you loan me $3 or $4 million because it showed up in my bank account and I spent it. Good luck with that, my friend. So coming up in the next hour, President Trump yesterday in a news conference started playing some video clips for those in the press room. And some of them immediately started saying, that's propaganda. You're spreading propaganda. You know what he was playing? He was playing video clips of their own newscasts and interviews they had done with some of their liberal friends. And it made them look bad. We're going to get into that. Because I want to spend a lot of time on that because it's so interesting that the mainstream media can recognize propaganda, as they call it, when it comes to the White House, but their daily propaganda BS just is... This is our standard fare of fair news reporting. Right. Hey, let your family and friends know we're on the air. We got an exciting hour still to come. You don't want to miss it. Please, stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.